Stop and think for a moment about wild animals. Which come to mind first? If you just rattle off the short list from The Wizard of Oz, you're already thinking about tigers. They are among the most charismatic creatures on the planet, which is a blessing and a bit of a curse. People want to see them and be around them, and that's not what is necessarily best for tigers. Southern Oregon is home to a facility that gives tigers places to live, getting them away from people and performing and other things that are not natural for them. The Oregon Tiger Sanctuary in Eagle Point is the place. Robert Negato Needleman is the Director of Veterinary Services at the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary and our guest in the studio. Thanks for joining us, Robert.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Great to be here.
So 25 years now at the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary, quietly out there in the woods. How did OTS get started?
Well, the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary was started by our founder and director, Penny Torres Spindler. She's an incredible woman, extremely compassionate, and probably one of the best animal behaviorists in the country, if not in the world. And she started out by rescuing a snow leopard in 1991 that needed a home. And it's grown now into a much bigger facility where we're a nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit, and we rescue, retire, rehabilitate, and we don't breed and sell. And we have tigers, lions, leopards, primates, and a lot of dogs and cats as well.
What is the usual pathway for any animal to arrive at the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary?
You know, there's several. We've received some from different zoos or like Marine World in California, some from private owners. You know, we work with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We get inspected twice a year, and sometimes they contact us. Animal Control's contacted us. It really depends, but essentially, they're either a private owner that was sold an animal that was misinformed that it was a good idea, or a place where they're an entertainment animal that's no longer, you know, quote unquote, of need to those people. And everybody kind of winds up with us from a different story like that, but they all receive a home and spend their whole life with us.
I've run across a few situations over the years where people just owned tigers in private settings, not that they ever had them in circuses or zoos or anything like that. They just wanted to have a tiger around. Is that, it seems like there'd be rules against that sort of thing.
There weren't when we started in 1991. We're proudly part of a group of different animal people that have supported that to be. There's now a ban in Oregon on owning exotic animals. That includes big cats, non-human primates, several other kinds of wild animals, exotic animals. It's also illegal now to canned hunt in Oregon. That was a legal thing when we started. You could literally pay for a big cat and they just release it out of a cage and someone would shoot it. And that's illegal in most states now. But essentially, it was a big problem, and it still is, but it's getting better as legislation comes and awareness and more support for the animals themselves. I think it's gotten better.
So are the tigers, for example, coming in more slowly over the years?
It's been really good. And every time our USDA inspector comes, I talk with him about it, and he said they're finding less in backyards like that. You know, we rescued a lioness from a junkyard in Grants Pass in a backyard. There was a small living community in Eagle Point. Someone had a tiger. Animal Control called us about, you know, so it was much worse when we started. And from what I'm hearing, it's improving. And the laws are getting better now, too.
How poorly were some of these big cats treated when you took them in?
Quite poorly. There was this lioness I'm talking about. She was in a cage with all these dead chickens laying around, pee everywhere, hadn't been clean. Apparently kids were using like little laser guns, shooting, harassing her. You know, it was a very bad situation, and it was potentially going to be fatal for the people that had her, because lions and tigers are not pets. They're very dangerous, and it requires very high safety standards, a lot of skill and knowledge, proper vet care, things like that. So yeah, they've come from pretty bad conditions. We mostly focus on then rehabilitating them, giving them a lot of love, very good nutrition, supplements, vet care, enriched environment, things like that that give them a good life.
What kind of room do they have to roam around in? What are their enclosures like? I assume there are enclosures.
Yeah, we have enclosures. They're standardly around 20 by 40, their living environment, and then they often have access to a larger play area with one of our areas has a very large pool, like a 30,000-gallon pool, and somebody donated at one point, which was phenomenal. And so the tigers can take turns. We call it bed and breakfast. We move them around into different cages. Mm-hmm. They love to go in and pee on their neighbor's things because they're very territorial, so they have to mark everything. So it's really quite a good enhancement for them to travel around to other environments. You know, in the wild, they roam huge territories.
So. And they're typically rather shy of each other, aren't they, big cats?
Well, they are. Tigers are solitary, so they live alone. Mm-hmm. Lions are pride animals. They mm-hmm. live together. So our lions are housed with other lions. We spay the females, and so then a male and a female can live together. Tigers are solitary, so they often grow up together. But at some point, they'll start fighting too severely, and we'll separate them. So often males don't get along as they get older, or females don't get along. But we tend to be able to put kind of like a male next to a female, next to another male, next to a female. And as long as the distance is big enough, everybody can exist peacefully. But, yeah, they're not really meant to be together in the wild.
Robert Negato Needleman is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the director of veterinary services for the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary near Eagle Point, which, as the name implies, takes in tigers and other exotic animals, and also some dogs and cats. We'll ask about that in a moment. You can ask some questions, too. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join us by phone. By email is jx@jeffnet.org. So you have some primates out there, too, apparently.
Yeah, we have primates, some spider monkeys, and African vervet, and a couple of macaques. We have two Celebes macaques that are actually diabetic. So between our director, Penny, and then our compound manager, Sally, they have trained these monkeys to be able to give their arm, and they take their blood sample twice a day, give them insulin shots. It's a very extensive level of care.
Wow.
But they're doing quite well. But unfortunately, a lot of macaques in captivity have diabetes. There were certain colonies that were bred for studies and then ran out of funding, and so then they dispersed these
primates. Oh, so they were research subjects. They were bred to be research subjects for diabetes. Oh,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that requires a whole another level of care. And it, you know, because it seemed highly not like a coincidence that two of these would be mm-hmm. diabetic. You know?
So are the monkeys and macaques kept far away from the lions and tigers?
They're not that. They're kept at a safe distance, and all of our enclosures are very solid. I mean, we go in the ground 2-3 feet of concrete, have these wide things. We weld everything. Everything's 9-gauge chain link, really high. All the primate cages have roofs. So some of them can see each other, and I think they get along. They get used to each other because they know that there's a safe barrier. But and then some of the primates don't see the big cats at all. It really depends.
So you mentioned also having cats and dogs out there as well. Have you become something of a domestic animal shelter as well?
Yeah, we also rescue. We have probably about 45 now rescued dogs and cats. It's just another big issue. You know, we certainly support spaying and neutering, and we work with phenomenal vets. Our exotic vets, Dr. Kathy Johnson Delaney, and our local vets, amazing, Dr. Stephen Tesluck and also Dr. Bill Ferguson. But sometimes we'll get a call from one of them that a domestic dog needs help, or, you know, an owner's not willing to pay the bill for kennel cough or something. They want to put it down. There's things that happen. There's a lot of other issues in the domestic world. So we've also taken on rescuing a lot of domestics.
So how much food does it take over the course of a day to feed all the critters you have out there?
It's a pretty massive operation. We're bringing in right now, you know, a good couple thousand pounds of meat for the big cats every month, and dogs and cats obviously eat a lot. So it's a big operation to feed everybody.
So how many people are there to care for them all, and on what kind of a schedule? It's not like you can take days off. It's like, let's not feed the animal on Christmas Day, you know? So.
No, it's definitely 24/7. We have a crew of around 10 to 15. Almost everybody's a volunteer, and some, you know, we have a phenomenal staff. I think one of the best staffs in the world. They work pretty much 7 days, but the different crews can rotate, you know, with different skills that they share. But a lot of our people are very devoted, been with us, you know, 20 years. And you get to know the animals and bond with them, and you really, you know, they're like family to us. To us, they're no different than people in a sense, and how close we are to them. So everybody wants to come see their animals every day, and the animals love seeing their people. So it's sort of like a win-win, you know.
But I need to point out here, too, that the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary is not a zoo. It is not open for tours. Is that right?
Yeah, we're not open. We're really, our focus is to give the animals who have been on display and or in abusive environments a retirement safe place where they can enjoy their life now. And we certainly, we're on Facebook a lot, and we have a website, and we welcome donations. You know, we're fully nonprofit. But, and so we share the animals in that way, but it's not really best for them to be on display anymore. We're kind of giving them a break from that. So we're not open to the public, but we are open in the sense that we share a lot of videos and pictures mm-hmm. online.
That is part of your outreach. There's also an education program too, is that right?
Yeah, we do education. We've had a teen program. Several summers we've had some younger kids come out and learn, and they get to be, you know, they don't go right near the animals, but they learn how to do things in terms of animal husbandry and see our veterinary clinic, things that they get to see what goes into actually taking care of an animal, even a domestic animal.
Robert Negato Needleman, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Director of Veterinary Services at the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary in Eagle Point, which is caring for a number of large cats and some macaques and monkeys, as well as some domestic cats and dogs. Questions are welcome on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned having to work with the USDA. That's the regulatory body then that oversees you, Department of Agriculture?
U.S. Department of Agriculture is the one that permits to have exotic animals. And it's twice a year we get an inspection. We work closely with them. If we bring in an animal, we work with them. We also work closely with the state vet, Dr. Brad Leemaster. He's an excellent guy, and we have a great relationship with him. But yeah, USDA is sort of the overseeing body for exotics in Oregon. And as I said, like, they will not permit anybody new anymore, which is phenomenal, mm-hmm. you know, except for certain circumstances.
So you know, we were talking about some tiger numbers when you first came in, and I was a little shocked to find that at least for a while there, maybe not still, but there were more tigers in captivity in the United States than were living in the wild. Is that right?
Yeah, there currently are. There's perhaps actually 2 to 3 times as many tigers in the U.S. as there are in the wild now. Only about 100 years ago, there were over 100,000 tigers in the wild. The recent estimates are under 4,000 tigers now around the world.
Under 4,000 total?
All kinds of tigers. There used to be 9 species of tigers. There are 3 of them have gone extinct. There are 6 left, perhaps only 5, because in South China, they really haven't seen tigers in a long time. So the issue is that, like you said, tigers draw a lot of interest, but that also creates a lot of problems in terms of people want to see them. And the fact is, they want to shoot them, they want to sell their parts. There's all kinds of industry around that we and many others are working to stop. And things are getting better. They recently passed some federal legislation, 2 different things. One of them was that cubs, you know, the roadside zoos and things like that often will show tiger cubs. That's no longer legal, you know, up to like a month old. So they can't drive their business by showing cubs anymore and having people touch them. And hopefully someday they'll stop that completely, you know, touching animals like that, because it's just not right. But also they're now classifying all tigers in the U.S. under the laws. They used to just do the purebred line of tigers. But see, many of the tigers, like the tigers we rescue, are usually a mixture of Bengal and Siberian, or, you know, they have different species in them. So they don't consider them purebred tigers. Mm-hmm. And so they were only protecting those. Now they're protecting all tigers in the U.S., which is another important step to be able to back up enforcement of the legislation. So those are steps in the right direction. And they are starting to see a small rise in tigers in the wild because of these conservation efforts and habitat protection and fighting the poaching and things. But you're right. I mean, it's a very big issue, and tigers are still highly endangered.
How can the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary afford to do what you do?
We exist primarily by private donations. We have supporters. And like I said, because we're a nonprofit, we're tax deductible. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking for help. And, you know, we have dedicated supporters over the years and funding. And Penny, like I said, Tori Spindler, she puts all of her money back into the sanctuary. And it's, you know, we've been blessed with funding, and obviously we're always needing more because it's a big endeavor.
If people want to help and aren't blessed with a lot of cash, are there other things they can do to help the Tiger Sanctuary?
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of they can donate items, you know, we're if they contact us, they want to give a boomer ball for a tiger, they can buy that on Amazon, have it shipped to us. You
a
know,
boomer ball?
There are these, you know, like if you think of a big ball, but it has to have very thick plastic so the tiger can't bite through it. And eventually they still do. But they love batting these around. They play like domestic cats, but they're huge, you know. They're 500-pound animals, but... if you think of your own cat brought up to 500 pounds playing with a ball, you need a pretty solid big ball for that. So there are toys that they can donate, or toys for the domestic animals, dogs and cats, things like that that help us out. And we have supplements. You know, we do a tremendous amount of supplementing and medicines. So there's a supplement, AgeLock Vitality. We use a longevity supplement that people donate bottles of that. You know, there's other ways to give that. That can help us as well.
How long do tigers live when they're in comfortable environments like the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary?
You know, because of our care and our level of diet, supplementation, veterinary care, things like that, because tigers often get kidney issues as they get older, and we have a very proactive kidney treatment program we start early on between medicines and supplements. We've had tigers live to 25, 26 years old, which is very old. You know, at a zoo, they'll say around 15 years old that the tiger's getting old. You know, that's a good accomplishment. In the wild, they live maybe 10 to 12 years or something. You know, it's just a very competitive environment, and they have to be...
have to hunt for all their meals.
Yeah, nobody don't brings them food each day like we do. So in that sense, they can have a longer lifespan.
Sounds like rewarding work.
It's very rewarding work. It's powerful. It's also very emotional because we get very close to them, and, you know... You don't ever expect them to pass away, and they do, and you kind of learn that's a reality of life too. But I can tell you that on the whole, it's dramatically rewarding for us and all the staff and everybody that helps us out too.
Robert Negato Needleman has been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Director of Veterinary Services and a longtime employee at the Oregon Tiger Sanctuary in Eagle Point. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.